what is best for all the people, or do we want to return our power to the people, to their state and local government? Much is different on this issue. Certainly in the past generation, there were cases in which power concentrated in Washington did much to help our people live in greater fairness and security, and to enable our nation to speak and act strongly in world affairs. I know the people is best expressed by the nation acting as one people. I strongly support the use of effective federal action. Division of power can get to be a dangerous habit. Government officials who get power over others tend to want to keep it. The more power they get, the more they want. We all remember the waste and resentment of systems that grow in every nation of people to use of the faceless machine called the federal bureaucracy. My father tells the rest of the family what to do. That's called paternalism. Our workers, he knows what is best for their future. That is called paternalism. In government, when a central authority in Washington tells people across the country how they should conduct their lives, that too is paternalism. The motive of the man in charge may be to do what he sincerely thinks is best. He won't like to be under anybody's control, no matter how benevolent they are. Money well taken care of. But for those able to take care of themselves, it is far more important to be free. All of our ideas is an idea of justice and genius. The idea that government derives its power from the consent of the government. Of course, every politician since Jefferson's time pays lip service to the consent of the government, along with majority rule and the will of the people. Many people in politics and elsewhere believe that the people just do not know what's good for them. Putting it bluntly, they have more faith in government than they have in people. They believe that the only way to achieve what they consider social justice is to place power in the hands of a strong central government which will do what they think has to be done, no matter what the majority thinks. For them, the will of the people is the prejudice of the masses. They deride anyone who wants to respond to that will of the people as pandering to the crowd. A decent respect for the practice of majority rule is automatically denounced as political expediency. I totally reject this philosophy. When a man sees more and more of the money he earns taken away by government taxation, and he objects to that, I don't think it's right to charge him with selfishness, with not caring about the poor and dependent. When a mother sees her child taken from a neighborhood school, transported miles away across town, and she objects to that, I don't think it's right to charge her with bigotry. When young people apply for jobs in politics or industry, find the doors closed because they don't fit to some numerical quota despite their ability and they object, I don't think it is right to condemn those young people as insensitive or racist. Young people oppose income redistribution and busing for the wrong reasons, but they are by no means majority of Americans who oppose them for the right reasons. Why the good, decent people stop letting themselves be bulldozed by anybody who presumes to be the self-righteous moral judge of our society. There's no reason to feel guilty about wanting to enjoy what you get and give what you earn, about wanting your children to good schools close to home, or about wanting to be judged fairly on your ability. Those are not values to be ashamed of. They are values to be proud of. Those are values that I shall always stand up for when they come under attack. We will change America for the better by attacking our real problems, not by attacking our basic values. Public dialogue by respecting, not appealing, the motives of the people that the winning candidate will often help to represent. And we would all do well to take those ideas seriously. We have achieved a high level of leadership throughout our history because we have put aside the notion of a leadership class. The advantage of superior education should result in a deep respect for, and never contempt for, the average person. Which means the president should read all the public opinion polls before he acts and follow the opinion of the majority down the line? Of course not. A leader must be willing to take up popular stands when they are necessary. He insists on imposing on the people his own ideas of how they should live their lives, and those ideas go directly contrary to the values of the people themselves. Does not understand the role of a leader in a democracy. And when he does find it necessary to take a popular stand, he has an obligation to explain it to the people, solicit their support, and win their approval. He said, in every presidency, there are moments of success or failure seems to hang in the balance. Expression of confidence by the American people is vitally important. This came toward the end of my first year in office. I had declared that we were going to end our involvement in the war in Vietnam with honor. The people had understood the difference between settlement and surrender. As you may recall, the organized wrath of thousands of vocal demonstrators who opposed that policy descended on Washington. Commentators and columnists wondered whether we would witness what they referred to. Third, 1969, I came before my fellow Americans in radio and television. Responsibilities to sum up the strength of our national character. A silent majority of Americans, good people with good judgment, who stand ready to do what they believe to be right, immediately responded. The response was powerful, nonpartisan, and unmistakable. They gave its consent, and the expressed will of the people made it possible for the government to govern successfully. I have seen the will of the majority in action, responding to a call, the responsibility to honor, to sacrifice. That is why I cannot ally myself with those who habitually scorn the will of the majority, who treat a mature people as children in the order to bow, who treat the property. Pride of the new majority that is forming not around a man or a party, but around a set of principles that is deep in the American spirit. The new American majority believes that each person should have more of a say in how he lives his own life, how he spends his paycheck, how he brings up his children. The American majority believes in taking better care of those who truly cannot care for themselves so that they can lead lives of dignity and self-respect. The majority believes in taking whatever action is needed to hold down the cost of living so that everyone's standard of living can go up. The majority believes in a national defense second to none, so that America can help bring about a generation of peace. These are not the beliefs of selfish people. On the contrary, they are the beliefs of a generous and self-reliant people, a people of intellect and character, whose values deserve respect from every segment of our population. The nation's most perceptive journalist asked me what I thought it would be like to be a second-term president. Free of government, no thought of another election. Actually, he was asking one of the deepest questions of all. Would I do what I thought was best for the people, or would I do what the people thought was best for themselves? This nation is basically the same. This question deserves a thoughtful answer. In the years to come, when I return to office, I shall not hesitate to take the action I think necessary to protect and defend this nation's best interests, whether or not those actions meet with wide popular approval. I need my life to shy away from making hard decisions which I believe are right. At the same time, you can be certain of this. On matters affecting basic human values, on the way Americans live their lives and bring up their children, I am going to respect and reflect the opinion of the people themselves. That is what democracy is all about. In the next 4 years, as in the past four, I will continue to direct the flow of power away from Washington and back to the people. In meeting our material need, we must never overlook every American's spiritual need for personal freedom. When freedom is taken away from the individual in the name of the people not the land of quotas and restrictions. God holds all men to be created equal, not the land that demands that all citizens become the same. Above all, this is the land where an alien paternalism has no place at all, because we deeply believe in a system that derives its power from the consent of the government. In my life, I have had faith in the ultimate wisdom of the people, and in the values of fairness and respect and compassion that spring from within the American spirit. As president, I shall never break that faith.